Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm going to be asking Ben a few questions. Basically, I'm going to be asking him a team that is most likely to either make or miss the postseason. We have four of those, and then I'll be reading the back of some baseball cards to Ben, see if he can guess the card or the player. We got some World Series predictions, Rookie of the Year predictions as well. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to The Dugout. We're here with episode 22. Baseball is back, and we're back. So we're going to be talking everything baseball. We have a few new segments for you guys, and my name is Drew. Alongside me is Ben. Ben, how are we feeling? About almost 2 weeks in to baseball.
2 weeks. My fantasy team's rolling. Adam Duvall's hurt for the Red Sox, so that's good. The only guy doing anything.
Yeah.
But the Yankees aren't in first, so.
Red Sox had a nice series to begin the year. Scored 9 runs in all of them. And, then they got swept by the Pirates.
Yes, sir. But I can't complain because Brian Reynolds put on for me, so.
So he's still leading the league, home runs.
Yeah, for sure.
Think he might be. I think to start, we'll do the teams that are most likely to either miss or make. But, yeah. So the first one, Ben. Team that is most likely to make the postseason. Okay. The Blue Jays or the Orioles?
Based on the, I don't know. It's hard to say. I think I personally am biased towards the Orioles. But the Blue Jays undoubtedly have a better roster, better rotation. They have MVP candidate in Vlad Jr. George Springer, another really good player there. Bo Bichette as well. But it just seems to be the case with the Blue Jays every year. They kind of collapse. Something goes wrong. I know a lot of the issue was managerial issues. They obviously changed managers this offseason. Actually during last season, I think, right?
Yeah, late at the end, yeah.
But I don't know. I like the Orioles story this year. I think they're kind of like the new kid in town. Mm-hmm. They just called up Grayrod. I think, you know, D'Lo Hall will probably grow into himself a bit, and I think their rotation will even out. I also think, I mean, depending on, you know, where they're at midseason, they make some moves in the during the trade deadline. So, I think they're going to I think they have a good shot at making a wild card spot for sure.
For sure. So we're calling Grayson Grayrod, no G-Rod.
Not G-Rod, bro.
Grayrod. No G-Rod. Yeah. No. All right, so yeah, the Orioles seem to be most improved every year, but now we're really seeing it. They got a lot of young talent, first full year of Gunner, second year of Adley. Adley's off to a great start as well.
He is.
So, yeah. And, yeah, man, the Blue Jays, they just, I don't know, always seem to almost make it. And, I don't know, I'm pretty sure Springer got, like, injured in the postseason last year. Didn't that happen? Someone ran into him. Might have been Bichette.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he got wheeled off the field in that game. And, yeah, man, I don't know. I'd say the Blue Jays are similar to the White Sox almost. Like, they always get to that point and almost get there. But I think the Blue Jays are a lot more talented. But, yeah, Orioles would be my pick. I'd really like to see the Orioles make it. It's been a while, so. All right. Team that is most likely to miss the postseason, the Mets or the Dodgers?
The Mets. Easily the Mets. The Dodgers run their division. The Mets have way too many playoff teams in that division. I mean, we're even looking at the Marlins being a borderline playoff team. They were a borderline playoff team last year till the very end. And I think the Marlins got better this year, especially having Jazz healthy. So, yeah, I mean, the NL East, I think it's kind of like the AFC West in football. It's, you know, if you miss the playoffs in the AFC West, you know, there's a good shot that you're missing the playoffs because the top two teams up there are really good, and not because, you know, you're a bad team. So I think the Mets are easily the team that's going to miss the playoffs. I think they do miss the playoffs this year. They're off to an awful start this year.
Yep.
After all the money they spent, you know, I think, you know, Verlander and Scherzer will slowly, you know, figure it out and whatnot, but the Dodgers own the West. The only real competition they have right now is, I don't know. I mean, what team do you think competes with the Dodgers in the West right now? Because the Giants, probably not. The Diamondbacks are extremely young, and, you know, maybe a couple of years you can see it, but still, I don't think their team's anywhere good enough to compete even for a wild card spot, maybe a wild card spot. And the Rockies, definitely not either. I think the only real competition there right now would probably be the Diamondbacks, I guess. I mean, that's the only team, yeah, I reasonably see being in contention with them.
Yeah, Mets definitely don't have a shot, I feel like. I feel like the Mets are going to be the Mets. And yeah, like you said, the Dodgers are on that division.
I forgot about the Padres. That's their competition. But
yeah, even I
think
That's where it gets
tough. I don't
think
it's an issue for the Dodgers. And I think even at very worst, the Dodgers are, you know, second place in the West and have a better record than anyone else for the wild card. So
I don't know. I just can see the Padres heating up, and then we're going to see like another electric postseason. Padres versus Dodgers. I don't know, man. I mean,
I would love to see it. I really would. But I don't know. I think, do we see Juan Soto get traded this year?
That would be interesting, because
I think I think it depends where the Padres are at. But the interesting thing about this is like how much money they're paying. I forget what they said last night in the broadcast. After the 2025 season, they have $1.1 billion of money invested in players. Because they were talking about the Mets and how much money they spent, but after 2025, the Mets have like $900 million or something like that. The Padres are the most expensive team in baseball right now.
Yep.
And they haven't needed to pay Juan Soto yet, which has to happen this offseason. So I think it's pretty interesting to see. I don't know how much room they have to work with. I haven't looked at that. I don't know what their plan is to work with that.
They were going to throw $400 million at Judge, and I've said this Soto first came to the Padres. I mean, they gave up their entire farm system. They didn't have the greatest. I mean, CJ Abrams, I think he's going to turn out to be a solid player, but I mean, Mackenzie Gore, I think he's going to be really good. But yeah, I mean, they gave up those two guys. They gave up some other guys. Yeah, and I feel like if you trade Soto, I mean, it's not a bad idea. I mean, if you give away your whole farm system, you get all these other players back in return for Soto. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because if they were going to sign Judge, were they going to sign Soto as well? Because Soto's going to want, I don't know. Plus, Ohtani's going to be a free agent. They might want to just fucking make
a push. Do you push Ohtani? Do you recoup and push for Ohtani? Do you recoup some of your prospects and go for after Ohtani? But then, like, then again, like, what if you lose on an Ohtani? Like, are you going to set yourself up for that? I'm gonna look at some of the salary numbers here, but like Bogart's massive contract.
Who's the highest paid on the Padres right now? Is it him?
Bogart's is the highest adjusted payroll salary right now. He's 10.36% of their payroll. Darvish is 10.17. Soto technically is 9.36, but he's on a 2-year $23 million arbitration salary.
Musgrove's got a deal too, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he's there for
Machado
a while.
Does too. Not seeing Musgrove on here.
Musgrove's is like a $100 million deal or something.
He's on the injury list. Yeah. $20 million a year. 8.8% of their payroll. I don't know. It's tough to say. Like, they just paid Cronenworth too.
Yeah.
Like a good amount of money. Probably a lot more than they should have.
$70 or $80 million deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, like, it's hard to say because they're reducing their upfront cost by making these really long contracts, especially with like 11 years for Bogaerts, is
yeah, that's
wild.
That's insane.
But like Cronenworth too, like Cronenworth's already 29. They signed him to a 7-year deal. They have Darvish for a while, I think, too. I mean, Machado, again, just got an 11-year deal. He's 30. So it's just, it's hard to say. I don't know. They feel like the Rams, maybe, of the MLB. Like, they're really going all in, which is fine and all. And obviously, it's a lot different for baseball. You're not losing draft picks like the Rams were and whatnot. There's no salary cap, but they've really gone all in on some older players too, which is a bit concerning. I don't know what they're gonna do with Soto.
He's gonna
get a lot of money. He's gonna get offered a lot of money. So it's really gonna come down to, does he chase the money or does he chase staying on a better team for maybe a little bit less, which the Padres will probably have to do based on who they've paid. And I think the Padres would be okay with losing Soto at this point with the current roster state. Like, sure, it would suck to not have Juan Soto, but based off of the star power they already have, that team's probably fine without him.
Yeah.
You can still probably compete with the Dodgers. I don't know. But the Mets are missing the postseason. The Dodgers will not. They're paying Hosmer $12 million this year, too. 5% of their payroll.
That sucks. Yeah, I mean, if the Padres sign Judge, though, what? I'm just trying to think about what their plan. I mean,
they wouldn't have signed Bogaerts.
That's probably true. Yeah, and they were trying to get Turner. They were trying to get Trey Turner.
They offered Turner too.
I think they were just trying to get one of the big names. Maybe I don't really know what they were trying to do, because
I think Turner was just a shot in the dark. I wouldn't say a shot in the dark, but the thing with Turner was he didn't want to play on the West Coast, and I think everyone knew that.
So they
just threw a big offer to try and lure him, and obviously they didn't get it. And then kind of the last big option there was Bogaerts, which, I mean, first of all, they didn't really need a shortstop, but they went after one. And I think that's why, I don't want to say they panicked, but they topped a pretty high Red Sox offer as it was by a lot, especially years wise. So I think that's where it really came down to. So they probably could have paid a shortstop and Judge.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to be honest, just trade Soto. Just trade Soto and get like a haul of younger players back, because Soto's probably their youngest star, right? Like, I don't know who the youngest on that team is. But
Tatis and him are both 24.
Tatis, yeah. But I mean, that's tough. I think you keep Tatis because he's sort of became that like San Diego icon. You know, you think of the Padres.
Same time, a lot of the San Diego fans are kind of over his issues, and I think the locker room felt very betrayed last year when that happened, when it came out too.
There was a clip of him and Machado fighting in the dugout. I don't know what year this was. I think it was
that was a while ago. I think that got all put to rest. But yeah, if I had to choose between one, I would choose Soto for a variety of reasons. Tatis hurt every year, especially with injuries that linger. You know, it's wrist injuries, it's back injuries. It's just chronic type injuries that really, like, I mean, to no fault of his own, come from being an explosive player. Like, that's just, you know, we see a lot of the most gifted athletes get hurt because their body can't handle some of the things they can do, which is, you know, probably the case with Tatis. And then it's very obvious what happened with the PEDs last year. You know, he wasn't healing correctly. He was getting really sick of missing games because he had missed so many games. Took some PEDs to help him heal a little faster and got busted for it. I mean, it's very, very obvious. I don't think anyone really bought the whole haircut thing. That was a load of BS. So
Tatis is like a lot similar to like Correa. Like, these two like controversial players, people have a few problems with them. I don't know. Both are really talented. Tatis, not a shortstop anymore, obviously. But
yeah, I just have an issue with Tatis as being, you know, my franchise player. It's just not someone I would want to bank on for the next 10-plus years over someone like Soto. Like, sure, Soto's not going to steal you 30 bags a year, but he gets on base like nobody else. He's like third in OPS through age 23, in front of Ted Williams and stuff like that. Like, when you talk about like pure hitters and just offensive players, like that's Juan Soto. Then once he, you know, ages out of playing the outfield, he's going to be a DH and rake for God knows how long. He's just that type of player. He's not going to hit 40 homers. He could. He has the potential to. But I think, you know, just intangible wise at the plate, he has things that Tatis doesn't. And the things that Tatis has aren't things that Soto can't do. It's just not really his MO. So,
yeah.
If I'm the Padres, I'm sticking with Soto. If I was the Padres, I would have traded Tatis a long time ago. That would have been. I think I would be over with Tatis. I think maybe their move this year is let Tatis play for a couple months because he comes back what next week, right? Play for a couple months and deal him. I mean that definitely could be up there because it's, you know, how long are you going to put up with how long are you going to put up with the amount of, you know, the amount of games you get out of him per year. Like, yeah. They got him on a pretty bargain deal because they signed him young. But the guy's playing half a season every year at this point, and he missed the entire last year. I don't know.
I think this is his like last ordeal with the team. Like, I think they ride with him the rest of this year, and I think they'll see where he is at the beginning of next season. I mean, that's really all you can say. If he plays all of next season, then I don't know. I guess he's back, but.
Yeah,
we'll have to see.
Very true.
Team that is most likely to make the postseason, the White Sox or the Guardians?
The Guardians. Again, like last year, the Guardians were a game away from the ALCS against a very talented Yankees team. The Guardians probably had what, a third of their payroll. Very young team. Very, very good pitching staff. Very bright pitching staff. One of the best closers, if not the best closer in baseball, in Emmanuel Clase, is a 1.45 ERA since entering the league. A guy not talked about nearly enough.
No.
Top 10 hitter in baseball in Jose Ramirez. They have one of the best defensive outfields in baseball by a country mile. I think it was what, all three of them won gold gloves last year? Or is it two? I know Straw and Kwan did, right?
I don't know. Did Straw win a gold glove?
I don't know, but he had the most Straw's like... He had the most outs above average and whatnot. So, very good defensive team. And then offensively as well, like, they're not a big power team, but they, you know, they get the job done. You know, Kwan, again, just on the tear he was on last year, started off really hot. They got Oscar Gonzalez and I think they got probably a couple more prospects coming up this year that will land up with them. But
just making them even more younger. Youngest team in
baseball.
Exactly,
yeah. It's the youngest team in baseball. I mean,
very exciting.
Yeah, like, like Espino probably makes it this year. Yeah, they got Espino making it this year.
Is that their top?
Yeah, Bo Naylor will probably come back up as well.
Forgot
George
about
Valera that. also projected to make it up to the big leagues this year. All of their players are like, their top 9 prospects are ETA'd for 2023, which is just wild.
Yeah, that's.
It's
a good place to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That is, I mean, they got a Gavin Williams, 6'6, 250, big, tall righty. I mean, dude, this team is going to be really good for a long time. They're really, it looks like they're going to hit their stride this year. I don't think they should have any issues winning that division again. As much as I do like the Twins and think the Twins are a very good team, I just think that the pedigree that the Guardians have had the past few years, as well as their manager, I think more experience and things like that. So
yeah, I'd say he's probably he's probably my favorite manager in the game.
Yeah, he's up there for sure. I mean, everywhere he's went, he's succeeded. So, and everywhere he's went, you know, he's taken bad teams and kind of rebuilt them and had a hand in that. So,
as far as the White Sox, though, what's your problem there with them?
I don't know if I have a real problem. I think it's just based the trend the White Sox have every year,
yeah.
And that's just not ever doing anything and living up to the guys they have. I mean, I love Tim Anderson. You know, one of the best shortstop in baseball. They got a pretty solid staff with Cease and Giolito and whatnot. One of the better closers in Hendricks. Hendricks is missing some time, though, I believe.
I think he's coming back.
He's coming back at some point. I just can't remember when. I don't know. Maybe it's the White Sox year. I don't think they could compete for a wild card between the two top teams, the Twins and the Guardians. Because even if one of the Twins or the Guardians have a bad year, and let's say the White Sox end up second, and one of those two teams wins the division, I don't think they're going to compete with any of the East teams or even a West team to make the playoffs.
Yeah, like I said, like 2 seconds ago, White Sox always get to that level. They just never seem to get past it. And I mean. Mm-hmm. It's to the point, like, I don't know too many White Sox prospects. I mean, do they have any bigger name prospects? Because at this point, like,
I think, like, they were the team a couple of years ago that had guys make it up, and they kind of didn't really do anything. Like, Gavin Sheets, Berger, Andrew Vaughn, like, those guys didn't really pan out.
Andrew Vaughn's really probably the most successful out of any of them.
Yeah. Their top prospects, Colson Montgomery, is in high A right now, ETA at 2024. The Oscar Colas guy, I do know about him. Yeah, he's ETA he's up there with them right now. I don't think he's done too much with them. ETAs are farther down the road. Cespedes' little brother, I think it's his little brother, Yoelki Cespedes. He might make it up this year, but yeah, I don't know.
They got to do something because I don't know. They got Mike Clevinger recently. Was that their only pickup
offseason acquisition?
I mean, they could have kept Rodon. I don't know what happened.
They got Elvis Andrews. Eloy Jimenez seems to be injured every single year.
That's like
Crochet as well. Another guy always injured. Yeah,
Eloy might be one of the like biggest disappointments so far.
Yeah, because when that guy plays, he's really one of the better hitters in baseball. But it's insane. He really just never plays, so it's a shame. They got Diekman at the trade deadline last year from the Red Sox. They picked up Elvis Andrews this year. I mean, it's such a blah move.
Yeah,
Mike Clevinger as well, who really hasn't been good since he's left Cleveland. So.
Oh, no, I think they were really focusing on getting La Russa out of there. Like, I think that's what they.
I think they did. I think they have a new manager this year.
No, yeah, they do. So but hopefully. I think that's what they were really wanting to focus on.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, he screwed up that locker room beyond belief. Made some very bad managerial decisions as well. So I think that will certainly help. But
yeah.
It's just a shame because they really do have a great roster between, you know, they have Moncada, Tim Anderson, Luis Robert, Andrew Benintendi. Then, like, pitching-wise, you have Andrew Giolito, Benintendi, Lance Lynn, Kendall Graveman, Aaron Bummer. Like, they have talent. They have a good team, but it just never really goes anywhere, and it's a shame.
All right, here's our last one. Team that is most likely to miss the postseason, the Boston Red Sox or the New York Yankees?
The Boston Red Sox, as much as it hurts me to say, but it's pretty obvious. We looked better than probably I thought we would at the start of the season, but granted, it's the start of the season of 162-game season. The offense will play well this year, no doubt about it.
The offense is really solid.
We're scoring a lot, but pitching-wise, can't pitch. Defensively, 6 errors in the past 2 games. Guys all over the field, not in their position. Kike is terrible at shortstop. He made 2 errors yesterday and then an error the day before because he's just not a shortstop. Like, the guy makes plays, but he throws the ball away because he doesn't know how to throw the ball at shortstop. Devers, obviously, one of the best players on the planet. Not a great glove. Masa Yoshida wasn't ever known for his glove. You know, he's kind of feeling it out. He's fine. Nothing special, though. Whoever we throw at second base, not great until we get Story back. Story, obviously, a gold glove caliber, you know, middle infielder. Reese McGuire is probably the worst defensive catcher in baseball. The Orioles stole 10 times on him in two games. It's just not great on the defensive side of the ball. Can't pitch, can't field, can only hit. And that's just it's not conducive to winning. And you know, the days the offense hasn't showed up, the pitching's actually ended up pitching pretty well. But when the offense shows up, the pitching, it's not good. And it's just hard to, you know, keep up with teams when you're allowing 5+ runs a game. So
yeah,
they're gonna miss the playoffs.
When's wouldn't story surprise come back?
Missed story. I think May.
Okay.
May or June, something like that. It was like 6 months from January, or like late December, whenever that happened. I can't remember.
I just remember last year he had that moment. He was heating up for like that period of time. I don't know when it was. It might have been
yeah,
like during the summer.
Yeah, but it was in the middle. It was sometime in the summer. I mean, he played incredible defense last year. You know, his bat wasn't always there.
He's a great
last
player,
but his defensive number. He was probably going to win the Gold Glove if he had stayed healthy. It would have either been him or Jimenez. They were both having great years, but Story was playing incredible defense and unfortunately got hurt. And we got to see how well his arm looks when he gets back too. That will be definitely a big question, but hopefully it's not too much of an issue at second.
Well, there you guys have that. That's a newer segment that we were trying out. We might plug in some different teams. We'll see what we can do. All right, so we're going to move on to another new segment that we have never done on this podcast. I collect baseball cards, so I pulled a few out here. I'm going to be reading the back of them to Ben, see if he can guess the player. So it should be fun. I actually have do you know what the Topps Now cards are, Ben?
I do. I was just grinding some Topps Now cards in the show, actually.
Yeah, so like you can't really read the back of these. It's more of like a moment during the season. So
okay, so you're going to read me what they did?
Yeah, I'll just think of some things. We'll start out with this one. Okay. This player, I'd say he's been in the majors. He's seen the majors a few times. Always gets sent back down. Okay. Yankees prospect, and they've been waiting on him for years. Like I said, he's seen Major League Baseball. He's been up. See what the back of the card says. He overcame multiple injuries during his minor league climb to reach the show at age 22. And just real quick, this card was this is his rookie card, his MLB rookie card. So this was 2020. Right here it says the Yankees are eager to get a longer look at his five tools.
His five tools.
Here's a quote from Aaron Boone himself. We think he's got a chance to be a special player. There's no question that his ceiling remains incredibly high. His year in the majors, he didn't even play a full year, but he had 3 at-bats. This is what this card says. He had 3 at-bats, 1 hit, and a .333 average. You definitely know this guy. He's been around forever. Like, he's just been a Yankees prospect that's been around forever. He's played in Major League Baseball games. He's probably played the Red Sox. And they've been waiting on him. I guess I can say right now they released him like literally a couple weeks ago. And now he's back with the team.
They released him.
When the whole outfield thing was going on, they brought him and then what was the other dude's name? Rafael Ortega. They brought those two players to the Bronx, and one of them was going to either like make the team or get released.
So he got released.
He did, but now I'm trying to find it. He's back.
Well, did they DFA him and then pick him back up because he went unclaimed?
Something like that.
Is it
no
Florial?
No teams wanted him, so I think. Yeah.
Is it Florial?
It is, correct.
Okay. Esteban Florial. All right. Dude, that whole release thing. Yeah, the release thing that's what
wrong, but
gave it away.
Yeah, this card literally just came in, so I thought I'd throw it in. Bought it at a kind of bad time, but
worthless now.
Kinda, yeah. All right, this is just a Topps Now card. This one's going to be tough. Let me see what I can do here.
Okay, give me a year.
It is from 2019 when he signed a deal. they team. He's a pitcher.
Okay.
And, yeah, signed with this team in 2019. After Reese, the team he was on before was, at the time, it was really, what's the word? Like, not a lot of people liked the team. A lot of weird stuff happening behind the team. He's a starting pitcher.
Weird stuff happening behind the team.
Yeah. Still goes to this day. A lot of I don't really like the team either. But this was a huge deal that he signed with his new team that he is currently on still. He's a right-handed pitcher, starting pitcher. This deal's huge. It's like $300 million.
So you don't like the Astros?
I do not like the Astros.
The Astros had a lot of stuff go on.
Yeah.
He's still on the Astros?
No, no. He's signed a deal in 2019 with this new team that he is still currently on for like $300 million.
He was on the Astros before.
Yeah. You really don't, you haven't gotten this yet?
It's Gerrit Cole.
It is Gerrit Cole.
Okay. There we go.
It's probably my favorite card that I have in the back. Yankee fan today, tomorrow, forever.
Cy Young winner? Never.
I'll see some. All right, this card's kind of random, but I wanted to throw it in here. These two players are on the same team, and they both of their fathers played in the MLB. I'm just going to see if you can kind of like guess one of the players on this card.
The two players are Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Kevin Biggio.
Incorrect, but I'll kind of give it to you. It's Biggio and Bo Bichette.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like
right,
father, right. Like son. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about Bo.
Yep. I don't really know what this card's even about.
Damn.
Yeah. That was a quick one. There you go. Okay. This one's going to be tough. This is a Topps Now World Baseball Classic card. Just going to see if you can guess the player.
From this year?
Yeah, this year. I just got this card in 2 days ago.
Gleyber Torres.
Incorrect. Trying, like, this player struck out a pretty well-known MLB player.
A well-known MLB player. And he's not a well-known MLB player.
I mean, he is. Both of them, it was a pretty, it's a pretty big moment in the World Baseball Classic.
Uh-huh.
Can you guess the player?
It's kind of like the matchup of the century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one was tough to
Yep. There it is. Pretty cool card.
Pretty dope card, yeah. There wasn't a lot of them printed, so. Let's see. All right. Last card here. It's not like a base rookie card, but it is a rookie card from 2019. So he was a rookie in 2018. Originally a prospect on the White Sox, no longer with them, plays with a different team in the MLB. Yeah, so here on the card, his minor league batting records are here. And I can tell you in 2016 he was playing, or 2017 he was playing for Fort Wayne minor league. 2016 Tri-City. I can't say this other one because it's just going to give it away. Team that he's on now. There's something on the card right here. It says Dateline March 28th, 2019. Youngest ever blank opening day starter. April 14th, 2019. Fifth home run and 17th MLB game.
Fifth home run in the 17th MLB game?
In his 17th MLB game. I don't really know why that's on there, but equaled the fourth most home runs, 14, prior to the MLB All-Star game ever by a 20-year-old. We were just talking about him like for a good solid amount of time earlier, too. Kind of controversial now.
He's controversial now?
A little bit. Kind of mentioned that yourself.
I did?
Yeah, you did. The fans of the team that he's on currently kind of getting upset of what he's been doing recently.
So he's not on the White Sox?
Quite a bit. No, he's not. He was injured quite a bit. Haven't really seen a full healthy year.
What year is this card from?
This is a 2018 or 20. The card's from 2019, but he was a rookie in 2018.
Rookie in the bigs in 2018?
In the bigs. The team at the time this year, I think it was the last year that they were using these jerseys. They moved to the a new color. The jerseys that they use now, there's a one, the one they use has pinstripes. It's not the Yankees. It is not the Cubs. It is not, who else has pinstripes? It's not those two teams that I just mentioned.
Are you implying he's on the Marlins?
It's not the Marlins. West Coast team. God. West Coast team.
Okay, So this is it's a rookie card or a prospect card?
It's a rookie card. It's not like a base rookie card. Like, it's not his original rookie card, but it's the same.
But he was on the White Sox.
He was a prospect on the White Sox. I don't think he played a game. He didn't play a major league game with the White Sox. I think the trade was, the trade involved, what's his name? Maybe not.
The only guy I can think of. So I have a name in my head, but like the issue here is the home runs aren't adding up for me because he's not really a home run hitter. But the pinstripes also leads me to believe that the team is. No, because you said West Coast.
Hold on, let me figure out the trade.
You said West Coast, and that team isn't in the West Coast.
What were you just thinking of?
Madrigal.
No.
Because pinstripes, not on the team, but yeah, the West Coast doesn't line up.
Yeah, so the Chicago White Sox. Oh, okay. So they actually signed him as a non-drafted free agent, this team that he's on now.
Oh. The team is the Padres.
It is.
And the player is Tatis.
I did not even know that. I thought that was a trade.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So I thought you were saying that he was a White Sox prospect that year.
No.
Yeah, that's why I was confused. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
Alrighty.
There we go.
There's all the cards. How many did you get? I think you basically got all of them.
I got Florial.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you guys have that. It's a pretty fun segment that we're going to be trying out. Got a ton of cards, so can always show Ben a bunch of them. I think we're gonna save one of these topics for next episode, but what do you want to do, Ben? Do you want to do World Series predictions or Rookie of the Year? I think we should do Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. Okay. So, we got a taste of some of the younger prospects that got called up this year so far. Got people like Volpe, Walker. Grayrod's up now. Has he started yet? Has he pitched yet?
Let's check it out.
Yeah,
I'll check while you.
We got Miguel Vargas over there on the Dodgers. I'm not sure if we talked about this a couple days ago, but we don't know if Oswaldo Cabrera can qualify for that. And he got called up in August, so I don't know how that works, but of last year, but Oswald Peraza, maybe, but he's probably not going to be playing.
Grayrod started one game, 5 innings, 5 strikeouts, 3.6 ERA.
There you go.
No wins, no losses. So decent.
First look at the majors. Am I missing anyone? Vargas. Yeah, whatever. Probably missed a few, but who do we have in the AL, Ben?
Gunnar Henderson. Tristan Casas.
Yep.
Anthony Volpe.
No shot.
Anthony Volpe.
Yeah.
Masa Yoshida. Grayrod, obviously. Josh Young. I don't know. Logan O'Hoppe. Mm.
Yeah.
That dude on the Astros, Corey Julks. Another dude they just randomly called up. Nasty.
Of course. Figures.
The pitcher from Japan on the A's who allowed 11 runs the other day.
Wait, Bo he Naylor allowed 11 too. Runs?
He had one inning.
Oh my God.
Well, they scored 11. They took him out by then, but he got shelled. Ken Waldachuk's available. He's eligible.
Yeah.
But Bo Naylor, if he gets called up this year as well.
Was he always a Guardians prospect? Was he always in that system?
Yeah.
I swear he came from another team. Maybe
I think Josh might have come from somewhere else, not Bo.
Oh, yeah, Josh Naylor.
But I also could have that switch, so I don't know. Gunnar Henderson has Masa Yoshida has the highest odds right now at plus 400. Then it's Henderson and Volpe both at plus 450. Grayrod at plus 1100 and Costas at plus 1500. I don't want to pick Yoshida. I'm going to pick Gunnar as my AL Rick of the Year. I don't like that. Like Masa is like eligible because the guy's 29.
And yeah, played that's kind of weird. 10 years. Think of a rookie. You think of someone who's like 20 years old.
Yeah. So and then the NL, you got Corbin Carroll, Jordan Walker,
Corbin Carroll. Yeah.
Kodai Senga, James Outman, Garrett Mitchell, Spencer Steer, Joey Weimer. Miguel Vargas, Francisco Alvarez, Brett Beatty, Ezekiel Tovar, Bryce Turang. So many Brewers on this list.
Said Jordan Walker.
Eli De La Cruz, yeah. Sal Frelick, another Brewer. There's four Brewers on here with pretty good odds. I want to go Jordan Walker, but I think Corbin Carroll having a little bit of time last year helps him out. And he's obviously off to a hot start this year.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most exciting players in baseball right now. I mean, he's faster than Trey Turner, I think, statistically.
I don't think we've talked about our rookie of the year predictions a few times now. I don't think we didn't talk about
Corbin Carroll.
Yeah,
because I just assumed that he was eligible last year. I didn't remember when he got called up last year. But he's out and running, off to a hot start. He's a real good player. They just paid him handsomely too, as well, for the very short time that they've been able to see him.
They pulled a Braves front office.
Yeah, speaks very highly of what they think of him. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Corbin Carroll, and I'm going to go with Gunnar Henderson as my picks.
Yeah. American League, I want to say Volpe as a Yankees fan, but he's really fast as well. There's a lot of these prospects are like really fast on the bases, but Volpe, I think he's gonna need some time to adjust. I'm gonna go with Gunnar Henderson, who actually saw some time last year.
Yep.
Just another younger player, a lot of power, and so give me Gunnar in the AL. Corbin Carroll for the NL. Like I said, we didn't even talk about, but I think I'm going to still go with Jordan Walker. I think he's just going to have a crazy season.
He's off to a great start.
Yeah, he's going to be that dude for the Cardinals. He's going to be the face of that franchise down the line. And he's just always had great numbers as a prospect. So, give me Jordan Walker. But they're like we've mentioned a ton of names. I mean, Miguel Vargas. There's a lot of people that could be sneaky, so...
This is kind of funny. So Corbin's played 10 games this year. He hasn't walked a single time. And he has 10 hits.
Oh, my God.
He has 5 steals.
Yeah.
Already. And he hasn't even walked to get on base. It's purely from hits, which is just crazy. His OBP is low. Once that OBP goes up, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's going to be a special player for sure. That's going to be tough in the NL.
Yeah, and there's a lot of really good NL. I think right now, like if it ended today, right now, it would be James Outman, who's off to a crazy start. He's got like 3 homers and like 14 RBIs or something already. Like 2 triples and like 3 something crazy. And then Garrett Mitchell as well, right up there with him too.
For the AL though, Moss.
AL's a lot. AL's pretty weak.
Yoshida, he's gonna be great.
It just feels cheap. It just feels cheap to pick Yoshida as my pick.
Well, that too, and like the defense.
When you're picking a 29-year-old that's played pro baseball for the past 10 years. Yes, the MLB is different from Japan, but it's better than AAA. So,
because his defense really isn't there. So, I mean,
yeah,
we'll have to wait. What I'm curious, because Ohtani didn't win Rookie of the Year, did he? I don't think he did. Did he?
Yeah.
I was going to say, because if
I'm
he
didn't fairly win certain it, then, he did, at least.
I want to know.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, if he didn't win it, then I want to know that year who won, because kind of compared to this Yoshida.
Well, like Ohtani is still younger than Yoshida.
How old's Ohtani right now?
Ohtani was 23 when he debuted. Okay. He's 28 so right now. That's Yoshida's valid. Already 29.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be really interesting. There's a lot of young talent this year. We'll have to see, but there you guys have it. Those are Rookie of the Year predictions. We're going to have to wait. Last year was J-Rod and Michael Harris.
Yep.
Solid picks.
I think Michael Harris is hurt right now, isn't he? Has he been playing?
I have no clue. J-Rod was ridiculous, though, last year.
Yeah, Michael Harris is injured at the current moment.
Yeah, now that you look... Looking at all these teams now, it looks like each team has like this young prospect that potentially can be the face of their franchise, which is kind of cool to look at. Like teams like the Marlins, you got the Twins. I mean, you're really only missing the A's, but the A's are always going to be.
But Esteri Ruiz is off to a good start for them, so that could be their guy.
Are the A's still moving? Weren't they going to move to Las Vegas?
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. No idea.
They should. They 100% should. Because the Oakland Coliseum is dead.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like I don't think they want a bad team to come to
that too.
Las Vegas. Like, that's not going to generate anything. I feel like you got to make moves first and then be like, yeah, we're moving.
You just look at like A's games on TV, like where it says like those seats way up. Can you even sit in those seats way up top? Because they are always empty.
They got tarps over them. That's for football. That was for the football games.
Okay.
They have all like the, for like the A's games, they would put like the retired numbers as they're just tarps over the seats. Is just so busted. Like, get a real banner or something.
Yeah, that team is. It's not good. It's not good.
No. Nope.
All righty. Well, thank you guys for watching. This has been episode 22. Great to be back. Baseball's back. Always good. And, yeah, be sure to check us out on every social media platform. We're on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, everything. We'll see you guys next week. Ben, anything else to add on? Rays are winning the World Series. They're 9-0 right now, right?
Yep, they play the Red Sox tonight, so 10-0.
Oh, okay. So they'll still be like... 10-0, 11-0. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you guys for watching. My name is Drew. This has been Ben, and see you guys next time. Peace out.